What's causing these topsy-turvy markets?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the global perspective on business and economics. Coming off Tuesday's worst showing for stocks this year, both in the U.S. and Europe, there's a new dawn today. Market players are showing a renewed appetite for risk, including stocks, at least so far on this Wednesday. Joining us from London is James Knightley, senior international economist at ING. Good morning, Mr. Knightley.
Good morning.
Now, you are of the mind that a correction was a bit overdue here coming into the week.
Yeah, I think some of the recent activity data hadn't been as good as people had been hoping. We'd had a good run. Then we'd seen something of a plateau in some of the data, and then some actual softness, such as the U.S. labor report last Friday. So now, as you say, in terms of today, the situation's looking a lot healthier. There is ongoing stimulus in the global economy. Unemployment is starting to come down in some of the key places, such as the U.S. We've had some positive comments from some of the central bankers in Europe suggesting that they could actually buy Spanish bonds once again, and that has helped support the Spanish bond market and the Italian bond market, and the general risk environment's a little bit more relaxed this morning.
Because earlier this week, those Spanish banks are what was keeping some investors up at night.
Yes, that's right. I mean, the balance sheet of some of these banks is somewhat worrisome. They've got big mortgage books, and Spanish property is something of a concern, especially given the high levels of unemployment. I think youth unemployment in Spain is pushing up towards 40% now. So there are worries about bad loans and therefore what that means for the future of some of the profits of these Spanish banks. Now, a lot of the bank's balance sheet is also tied up in the sovereign debt. And if we can get some positive news sign on the sovereign debt story in Spain, that perhaps eases some of those concerns for some of the Spanish banks.
James Knightley at ING in London, thank you very much for the time.
My pleasure.
With Rick Santorum's exit from the Republican presidential contest, political analysts say the general election is beginning in earnest. Marketplace's Bob Moon has the latest on the big political action committees, you may know them as super PACs, and their ongoing role in the race.
You can expect to start seeing more anti-Obama attack ads in the near future now that the Romney campaign and Republican-aligned super PACs can redirect their advertising fire. John Dunbar watches politics at the Center for Public Integrity.
Restore Our Future, which is the super PAC backing Mitt Romney, actually has more money in the bank than Mitt Romney's own campaign, or at least it did at the end of February.
Up to now, that super PAC has been doing most of its spending, roughly $40 million, on negative ads targeting his GOP rivals. But at the Political Wire website, Tegan Goddard says other super PACs were busy helping Romney's rivals extend their improbable runs.
I think what happened is the super PACs allowed the unorganized candidates like Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich to continue on longer than they otherwise would have been able to.
Now, Dunbar says all those super PACs can start banding together.
They've obviously got a horse that they can back without reservation. They don't have to worry about Rick Santorum anymore. Now they can just go straight at Barack Obama.
The bulk of the spending is likely to be focused on a dozen-plus so-called battleground states considered key to a November victory. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. As I mentioned, in Europe, things are looking up. The FTSE 100 index at this moment is up 0.6%. The German DAX index currently up 1.2%. Investors are nervous about Italy. The Italians sold some government bonds today, but attracting buyers required interest rates that were twice as high as last month. The Nikkei index in Japan closed down about 0.8%, but that was before today's big Indonesian earthquake.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace's coverage of wealth and poverty issues is supported by the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. More at FordFoundation.org.
One thing Europe does not need now is another, quote, sickly market. This time it's the market for carbon credits. Prices have collapsed for the right to expel carbon dioxide into the environment. And today at a big European Union energy conference in Brussels, some policymakers are working to change that. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
If you've always wanted to cross the pond and spew a ton of carbon into the air, act now. Costs just $9. Half the price of a year ago. Of course, it's free in the States, where we don't regulate the stuff, but that's another story. Economist Robert Stavins at Harvard says Europe's carbon market is sagging because its economy is. Less buying, less selling.
The result of that is lower industrial production, hence less generation of electricity, particularly by coal-fired power plants, and hence lower emissions.
The Europeans have stayed under their emissions caps, and few companies need to buy allowances to emit more. So allowance prices have dropped. But even though Europeans have fit into those skinny jeans they designed years ago, some want to go skinnier. At EU talks today, some countries want to shrink the supply of carbon allowances so prices rise. Denny Ellerman at the European University Institute in Florence says these people want a faster energy revolution.
From that perspective, they would say the price is not high enough to yield the results that we expected with respect to energy transformation, and therefore we believe the price should be higher.
But are low prices inherently bad?
The hand-wringing in Europe is somewhat misplaced.
Robert Stavins says the market is working as intended.
When there is a recession, rather than continuing to punish private industry unnecessarily when emissions are low anyway, it loosens the constraint.
And if you wonder if low prices doom carbon markets, not in this case. The Europeans have agreed to extend their market past 2020, and more are coming in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, China, California. Marcus Ferdinand is with Point Carbon in Oslo.
Higher volumes in the market and an expectation of an even growing market gives you a certain security that this market will not be vanished from one day or the other.
Think of carbon markets as a teenager, immature, volatile, and in the end, presumably, they grow up. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, three-quarters of U.S. employers do a background check before hiring. Now a consumer group says too much of that background info is bunk. The National Consumer Law Center has a new report this morning that says the job background screening industry is like, quote, the Wild West and lacks accountability. Among the problems, someone with a similar name has a rap sheet and you don't, or reports that fail to note when criminal charges are dismissed. Job seekers have the right to correct bad information, but to paraphrase the report, just try it sometime. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
Foxconn hires a lot of people in China to make iPads and iPhones, and nobody knows the place better than those who spend 10 or 12 hours a day inside.
Whenever she starts complaining about work at Foxconn, her boyfriend steps behind me and whispers to her, warning her not to complain to a foreign journalist. She ignores him.
I'm Kai Rizdal, a rare glimpse inside the Apple assembly line in China. That's next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.